Hear now a reading from the book of Exodus. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built cities, supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you're ever up in Rochester, New York, you can take a tour of the original Memorial AME Zion Church, which once served as a stopover on the Underground Railroad for Harriet Tubman, the print shop for Frederick Douglass's abolitionist paper, The North Star, and the site for several of Susan B. Anthony's most important speeches over the decades. Later, stained glass windows were installed in that church for each of these mighty Americans, with the window for Anthony donning words from the last speech she gave in support of women's suffrage. The year was 1906, and at the age of 86, Anthony knew she would not live long enough to see women gain the right to vote. Nevertheless, she was defiant. And standing before the crowd, she spoke of Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Lucretia Mott and so many others who belonged to what somebody once called that little band of brave women who simply would not be silent until their voices and all of the voices of all of the women all across America could be heard and their votes counted. And insistent to the end, Anthony finished her final speech with words which are now etched immortally into the windows of the church and the annals of our country. Failure is impossible. Of course, I'm thinking of Anthony and Stanton, Tubman and Mott, because this past week we marked 100 years since the passage of the 19th Amendment, and it's giving women the right of suffrage. Though that right really wasn't given to them, they had to earn it. And it was women like these, and who knows how many hundreds of thousands of others, who made it happen, devoting their days and decades, lives and livelihoods to the cause of their own equality, many trusting full well that even if they themselves did not gain the franchise, in the end, the movement as a whole would succeed, for indeed it was impossible to fail. The little band of brave women is a pretty good description of the five females we are given in the first two chapters of the book of Exodus, and the might that they too showed in doing all they could to bring the boy Moses to birth and to save him from the fiendish schemes of Pharaoh. A little band of five brave women for whom failure was impossible with God and with one another. I start at the top. The top of the story and also the top of the pyramid, which the Hebrew slaves no doubt built and which embodied in its structure the whole order of the society and economy upon which ancient Egypt was established. At the top of that economy and society sat Pharaoh, and at the bottom, the Israelite slaves, and at the very, very bottom, their women, a seemingly powerless caste who end up actually having within themselves the capacity to fell mighty Pharaoh from his throne. The Bible says that this particular Pharaoh was a new kind of king set over Egypt, someone who knew not Joseph, meaning someone who cared not a thing about the arrangements of the past or its norms, but instead instituted a new set of policies designed solely for the purposes of his own power. There was no more concern for the common good. There was no consideration for human rights. For Pharaoh and his taskmasters, only one thing mattered: work, work, work. And when they had enough workers and began to worry that the slaves might rise up in revolt, they decided on an exacting form of male infanticide to solve the problem. And that's where the Bible picks up the pyramid and turns it on its head, focusing our attention not on the top, but on the bottom, and specifically on two Hebrew midwives, Shiprah and Puah, who refuse to participate in the slaughter of their own people. Study these two, and we see an act of civil disobedience in the first order. Two seemingly powerless slaves using the only power they have to resist, the power of non-cooperation. So the babies were born, and among them, one who would be given the name Moses. And when called to the carpet to explain themselves, the midwives actually use Pharaoh's own othering of the Israelites against him, saying, "The Hebrew women just aren't like the Egyptian women. They just bear their babies out in the open before the midwives can make it there." Whenever I read that part of the story, I always think of the black maid who was, when confronted by her white boss about her own participation in the Montgomery bus boycotts, said, "Oh, no, ma'am, I'm not involved in any bus boycotts. I'm staying away from all that. And just to be sure nobody thinks I'm involved, I've decided I'm just going to walk to work until the boycotts are over." Think about it. Women have been using whatever power they have had in whatever ways they could since time immemorial. And these two midwives used their power to deliver the Hebrew children, one of whom would grow up to deliver them. They were in the brilliant, bright divinity school professor Wilda Gaffney's words, the deliverers, deliverers. But of course, they probably never knew it. Like so many of the suffragists, Shiprah and Puah likely didn't live long enough to see the fruits of their labors. Moses was 80 years old before he came to confront Pharaoh. And by then, Shiprah and Puah were probably long past. But what they did while they were living made a difference. And those two women, plus Moses' mother and sister and wife, and even one of Pharaoh's own daughters, formed the little band of brave women who saved the boy, who grew into the man, who rose and stood before Pharaoh and told him to let God's people go. And I think of the brave women I know who are in the tradition of Shiprah and Puah and the suffragists, working even now to make a difference, even if they may never live to see it. I think of the grandmothers against violence in our own church who have kept steady at the plow, organizing and protesting against gun violence in our own community since the mass shooting at Stoneman Douglas High School 2.5 years ago. The opposition is strong and well-funded, but these grandmothers are tough and smart. And believe me, dear friends, even if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, in the end, failure is impossible. Or I think of the three women who, in the wake of the tragic shooting death of yet another innocent black boy named Trayvon Martin, could simply not remain silent. Like Shipra and Pua before them, they could not be complicit in the slaughter of their own people. So they started a hashtag, which then became a network, which then became a campaign, which eventually erupted into a worldwide movement for freedom, liberation, and justice, which we call Black Lives Matter. Small and ignored and opposed at first, but now we see failure is impossible. Or I think of the single woman I know in this church who's probably at home watching right now, who, though because of an illness, can't really get out of her house in these present COVID conditions, nevertheless uses the two mighty powers she has, prayer and encouragement, to lift up the church and its preacher and the world day in and day out. And I can tell you, friend, your prayers will not go unheard or unanswered. Their failure is impossible. And what was said so long ago in the book of Exodus might also be said now because of you. I have heard my people's cry, and I am come down to deliver them. Margaret Mead once said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." It was a little band of brave women who changed the world when the first Moses was born. And it was the same when the new Moses was born also. Mary and Elizabeth banded together as midwives and mothers to John the Baptist and Jesus. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, sang at the rise of her son, just like Miriam, the sister of Moses, sang at the fall of Pharaoh. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor upon the lowliness of his slave, bringing down the powerful from their thrones and lifting up the lowly." Women did that long ago. Well, God did that through women. God did it through them long ago, and God did it through them 100 years ago this week also. And I trust there is another little brave band of women God is doing it through again, even right now. And the midwives cast their votes, and Moses is born, and the Red Sea is parted, and Pharaoh falls, and the people are delivered, and failure is impossible. If there is, then remember this. Remember and believe this, you brave band of women. Failure is impossible. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all. Amen.